back here on Cody and Gold. Alex Gold, Cody Tapp, Drew Nixon with you. Again, the breaking news of the day, initially reported by Jordan Schultz. Chiefs putting Hollywood Brown on IR, going to undergo surgery to repair that same injury. However, it has not healed the way they wanted it to, and they believe corrective surgery is needed to avoid a risk of more serious long-term injury. And Matt Verderam and others now also following up on the reporting, as we mentioned, that this seems like more of a majority of the season type injury. The fact that he's eligible in 4 weeks, not going to really maybe come into play as much. He's eligible to return from IR the Niners game, but national reporters do not believe that is going to be the case. And so there is, the real possibility that he never plays a regular season snap or a snap period, I guess, for the Kansas City Chiefs. The guy that, along with the draft pick in Xavier Worthy, was supposed to be a huge part of this offense. I was thinking during the break, you and I were talking, we're like, man, oh man, you thought it was a break already that the Chiefs know that Rice is not getting suspended this year. That'll wait till next year, probably. Could you imagine if we would have been sitting here and Rice was already serving an 8-game suspension, and then I told you Hollywood Brown was going to at least miss the first 8, and the first 8 games they would have been dealing with Worthy, Justin Watson, McCole Harbin, all that all over again?
Well, and no, yeah,
that would have been that was a real pos. I mean,
thank God.
Remember when Hollywood Brown got hurt? It was the first snap, essentially, of preseason football, and at that time we didn't think Rice was getting suspended, but we weren't 100% sure yet. So they avoided a big problem.
It stinks because the sentence you had said there is at least in the cards. There is a chance Hollywood Brown never plays a single snap for the Kansas City Chiefs. And I didn't have unrealistic expectations of Hollywood Brown. I thought he'd be like a seven or eight hundred yard year and be a nice player for the Chiefs on their way to having one of the better offenses in the league. And now that's not going to come to fruition because he's going to miss at least a huge majority of the season, if not the entire season, if you look up how long it takes to recover from that surgery and those things. But yeah, the Rashee Rice stuff helps. But also, this is where I'll give Brett Veach a lot of credit. When there have been problems where a unit has been such a detriment to what they're trying to do, and last year didn't stop them from winning the Super Bowl, but come on, man, if they weren't going to win one, it was absolutely going to be the wide receiver's fault, okay? Come on, let's just be honest. If they didn't win the Super Bowl last year, we'd have come out of that game saying, all right, there is one reason why this team didn't win the Super Bowl, and it's the damn wide receiver. Won the defense, won the quarterback, won the running back, won the coach. We were going to blame the wide receivers. When he's had massive deficiencies, Brett Veach has done an incredible job at making sure that not only you secure at the top end, but that you're not screwed beyond it. Because even without Hollywood right now, great news. You have Rashee Rice, who I think is at least a 1,200-yard wide receiver. Boy, the overs on Travis Kelce and Rashee Rice just went up. As a matter of fact, we'll let you know on the bet later, we all placed a bet on some totals for this weekend's game. Now, look, Hollywood wasn't going to play, so those numbers didn't change. But for the long season stuff, Travis Kelce numbers go up. But because you have Rashee Rice and Travis Kelce, okay, you've already got good options. You drafted a wide receiver in the first round to make sure you had more options. You brought in Juju Smith-Schuster as a safety net. You brought back McCole Hardman. You still have Justin Watson. You have the veteran coverage of the guys who know how to do the little bit of stuff already there. And then you have the upside in Rashee Rice and Xavier Worthy. So you protected yourself from this injury. And you protected yourself going all the way back to the draft and a million other things. So kudos to Brett Veach that I don't have to look at this injury today and be like, they're screwed. Because they're not screwed. That's not what's happening here. It's bad news. It's not good news for the Chiefs. And it's certainly not good news for Hollywood Brown. But Gold, they're not stuck in the wilderness without a paddle.
Yeah, this is not it's not the end of the world, but to act like it doesn't impact anything would be foolish as well. And now even I saw Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider, also acknowledging that Brown is expected to miss several months as there's a significant rehab that
he'll join
required.
The drive later today.
Yeah, there's a significant rehab that is required for the surgery that Hollywood Brown is going to have on Monday. So we'll revisit this, of course, throughout the entire show today, and including in the Chiefs Red Half Hour coming up in about 15 minutes or so. I did want to talk about a wide receiver across the sideline on Sunday, and that is one Ja'Marr Chase.
Yeah, stop talking.
Ja'Marr Chase was talking to the media yesterday, and we just had Ben Baby on, who covers the Bengals there for ESPN, and he did acknowledge that in some of the media availability, Jamar Chase gave a lot of credit to Steve Spagnuolo. That is very true. He said, hey, he's one of the better defensive coordinators in scheming up things against us. So he gave them credit. But I don't know how you can utter the words I'm about to play and actually believe them, considering the circumstance we are in. This is what Jamar Chase had to say about Cincinnati standing in the AFC.
We are the team to be in the AFC, and we know it, and we got to act like it, and we got to play like it, too.
Mm-hmm. So,
look. I'm sorry, did he say they're the team to beat in the AFC? He didn't say, wait, hold on, let me hear it again. I want to make sure he didn't say North.
We are the team to be in the AFC, and we know it.
Mm-hmm. I don't actually think AFC North is a fair answer either, but that's beyond the point.
So, look, you can be confident. You should be confident. You're an NFL player. If you're not confident in your own ability, you're already kind of screwed. So nobody's saying that Jamar Chase should be saying, we suck and we can't win. That would be stupid, and that's not how this works.
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that.
That's not how this works. You can say, we think we're one of the better teams in the AFC, and we're not playing like it. We need to play like it. I hear that all the time. Makes sense. But the week after you just lost to New England, to Jacoby Brissett, that your offense barely could score any points. The week now you're going up against the team that has won back-to-back championships, that has beat you two times in a row, for you to say you are the team to beat in the AFC, you are an unserious person. I cannot take you serious. You are out of your damn mind. It's not just confidence, it is stupidity.
It's just factually inaccurate. And before we do the you got to have confidence in yourself. No one's going to say nice, Alex's mom probably tells him he's the best radio host in the whole country.
No, she says you are, I think.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Thanks. I actually agree with her on that one.
Yeah.
there's a part of delusion in which it doesn't have to be true. You can tell me you think I'm really nice at my job. My dad tells me that. He does not tell me he thinks I'm the finest radio host in the country because it's not true. The part of it is we're the team to beat in the AFC. Win. And I'm not even kidding. Whenever. Maybe for that, 4-month off season after you were the representative of the AFC 2 years ago. And I want to mention how long 2 years is in the NFL a lot of times.
Sure.
Maybe for that, until you were 0-2 to start the next year. And then the Chiefs were the team to beat once again in the AFC. When you are in the middle of a dynasty, you cannot say that. What you have to say, if you want to be confident in us, is we think we're just as good as that team. And we're going to prove it on Sunday. There's nothing wrong with that sentence. Saying we're the team to beat in the AFC is delusional.
The time and place.
And he can't help himself. He just can't help himself. He kept quiet for 5 whole days, and then Thursday rolled around, and he couldn't help it anymore. Had to start firing off some shots.
Time and place. It's just you can't say it after you just lost to New England, and you're playing the team that has dominated the NFL for the last 2 seasons. Come and get your guy, Drew. Come and get your guy. He's embarrassing you guys. I know you are a very intelligent, smart football fan that recognizes how the league works and everything. Your guy out here is making you guys look silly.
Yeah, but I don't have a problem with him saying it, though, because if the Royals had just lost to the White Sox and they were in the race against the Yankees and Bobby Witt said, we're the team to beat in the AL, that's fine. That's good.
That's not that different. Those are way different.
No, it's
let him finish. Let him finish.
Alex used this exact scenario in the bullpen. I'm using the example. If the Royals right now, Bobby Witt could say right now, and I know that they're in the push for the playoffs. I know that they're in the conversation for the division. Bobby Witt could come out and say today, right now,
today,
the Royals are the team to beat in the AL, and I actually wouldn't have a problem with it.
I actually kind of would, because that's the Astros.
But that's the mindset, I think, because if you don't have that mindset, and this is what I said on Fesco and Dusty earlier, if you don't have that mindset, then you're the Ravens, or you're the Bills, and you're never going to win anything that matters the most against Patrick Mahomes.
Okay, so.
Because to me, you can have confidence all you want to and say that you have confidence all you want, but as soon as Lamar Jackson says that Patrick Mahomes is his kryptonite, you've lost that battle.
That's not a something
to
I,
me,
if I was.
I think it was more of a call to action, guys, than anything else, because in the locker room, they just came off of an awful loss, as you mentioned. They sucked.
True.
They looked terrible. Somebody had to call people out. Somebody had to try to say, hey, guys, let's go and figure it out, because we know that we can be this team that beats the Chiefs. We've done it before. Yeah. We can go to the Super Bowl. We can be the best team in the AFC. We need to act like it. We need to play like it.
So the Royals comparison, I could not disagree more.
If Bobby Witt said that today, you guys would have a problem with it.
The reason why I could not disagree more, again, the context in the way the league is set up matters. Number one, part of the equivalent, if you want to use the Royals, would be if they had just lost eight in a row, which or seven in a row, which they did, and then the very next day, Bobby Witt Jr. said they were the team to beat. That would be foolish. So that's the first part, which is what is happening now. The Patriots just beat Cincinnati. The other part is in the American League and in baseball, nobody has won back-to-back championships and are playing that team.
Correct.
That's the difference. So the Royals comparison, I could not disagree more. It's not the same circumstance. You can't have the worst loss of the young NFL season and 5 days later play the team that has owned said league, that is going for history, that has beat you twice in a row, and then make that statement out loud, okay, and be a serious person.
So CJ Stroud said this, you would have a problem with it as well.
Yes, of course I would. So let me be very clear on something, Drew, because this is a good time to discuss this, because what we're talking about. We have given Joe Burrow way too much credit for being different than Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen because Patrick Mahomes played one bad half of football. I want to be very clear. Joe Burrow did not win that game against Kansas City. Patrick Mahomes played the single worst playoff half of football he's ever played in a game. And because of that, we want to pretend like, well, Joe Burrow's above it. He doesn't slum down with those guys like the Bills and the Ravens who have never gotten past the Chiefs. It's one game in the entirety of the career while he's been running shot on the entire AFC. We have let that warp our mind to think that he's not in the same boat as Lamar Jackson and Josh Allen, as in Patrick Mahomes is they're all their daddy. They're the triplets who can't get past Mahomes all the same. One half of one game, he got past him one time.
He beat him three times.
He has no titles and no MVPs. He doesn't even win his division every year, while Patrick Mahomes stacks titles. He's in the same spot as Josh Allen and Lamar Jackson.
So you're saying the Chiefs would win the division. They would have won the division however many straight times if they were in the AFC North.
Yes.
No.
Yes. I'm 100% confident of that fact.
No. No.
That's irrelevant to this conversation. I kind of disagree with that statement, but that doesn't change what we're discussing here. I think you might have went a little too far on that part.
Disagree.
But
it's not a fact of what Jamar Chase said it. But yes. if Bobby Witt said it, I don't have a problem.
Bobby Witt Jr. would not say it. I think that's also the difference of who the person is.
I know, but the context of them saying it, I don't have a problem with it, because you should believe that. Otherwise, you shouldn't be, as an athlete, I don't think they can look at good pass or bad pass, what has happened the past couple years ago. Uh-huh. What are the expectations for this year? We just got our ass kicked by the New England Patriots and we didn't do anything. Mm-hmm. That's why I think it's more of a,
we got to play better. We got to play like we're one of the best teams in the league. That's standard stuff.
And he said that, but he also said it. He said they're the team to beat in the AFC.
I
understand that, but you have to have that mindset. You have to think that you are the top dog. Otherwise, you're never going to get there. If you don't have enough confidence in yourself to get it done. Lamar Jackson has already admitted that his kryptonite is Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah.
You've already kind of put yourself second in that regard. Josh Allen, I don't know what... I mean, there's a lot of respect there.
I take Lamar Jackson more seriously than I take Jamar Chase. He's not a serious person if you're making comments like this.
But Josh Allen, I think, when he steps on the field of Patrick Mahomes, he thinks he is the better quarterback. He thinks he is the best quarterback in the NFL. He might just not say it. Where Jamar Chase saying this, I think I have no problem with Jamar Chase saying it. The problem that I have more in terms of trash talk this week is what Cam Taylor-Britt said.
Well, that was not smart either.
That was also not smart.
You can't be a part of the problem of your team and be talking. Jamar Chase is a top five wide receiver. If I don't have a problem with top five guys in their position saying that they're the best and saying that they're the team to beat, it doesn't bother me. It wouldn't, no matter who it is.
Look, I'm not expecting you to throw the team that you love under the bus. I get it. You're a Cincinnati fan. You've been a Cincy fan your entire life. So I'm not expecting you to say that Cincinnati is all delusional, all of that. But man, oh man, I'm just from the non-Cincy side, and obviously we're in Kansas City. I recognize that, but I mean, I listened. Scott Van Pelt played the very clip I played a second ago, and he's neutral in this whole thing. And he was like, "What the hell is Jamar Chase even like? How can you even say that? Like, this is not just a KC versus Cincinnati thing. There's nobody that can hear what Jamar said and not think he is out of his damn mind.
We are the team to be in the AFC."
After losing to New England a year ago, or a week ago, and losing two straight to Kansas City, for the dynasty. It's crazy. I can't take him seriously.
We'll table it till Monday.
Cody.
Yes?
2021, the Bengals beat the Chiefs. They go to the Super Bowl. If Patrick Mahomes would have said from week one the next season, the Bengals beat them and the Chiefs lost, If Patrick Mahomes would have said, "We're the team to beat in the AFC,"
that would have been foolish.
Come through us.
That would have been a foolish thing to say.
It would not have.
Although, to be clear, it had been significantly less foolish than Ja'Marr Chase saying it now, because at that time, Cincinnati would have been a team who had been to one Super Bowl and won jack, and Patrick Mahomes would still be a Super Bowl champion.
But it's the same,
with an MVP. It's not the same.
It's in the same conversation of the Chiefs. Technically, yes, are the team to beat, but technically, whether you won a Super Bowl or not, the Bengals had beaten the Chiefs, and you could say the Bengals were the team to beat because they had just won the AFC. That to me, you cannot look back 3 years and say, well, they won it that year, so they're still the team to beat. It's
they're
right
in
now.
The middle of a dynasty.
I understand
this
that.
This is not, that's not the, that those aren't even comparable. I wouldn't have suggested Patrick Mahomes say it then, but those aren't even on the same planet. They're in the middle of winning three Super Bowls in five years.
It's comparable
years.
For us. We like to compare it. If you are Patrick Mahomes doesn't care that they won a Super Bowl. He doesn't care that they won a Super Bowl last year. If you asked him, it doesn't matter. It's this game. It's this season. It doesn't.
Sure.
To an athlete, I don't think it doesn't matter what happened previously. It's a great topic for us to talk about, and it's a great conversation of them being in a dynasty. They don't even recognize the dynasty because they're too in it.
Yes, Ja'Marr Chase
is
not true.
Ja'Marr Chase is too in it.
That's just not true. The team has absolutely ignited. I mean, the minute they were on the field in Vegas celebrating, Chris Jones said, "We got to go for the three-peat." I mean, to act like they don't acknowledge a dynasty. Travis Kelce, the Super Bowl parade, Drew, a year ago. 2 years ago, I can't remember which one. They've had a lot of parades here in Kansas City. One of those parade celebrations.
Again, we're in the middle of the season. It doesn't matter.
He said that we've been a dynasty. You haven't been paying attention. So you cannot come here and tell me that the team doesn't recognize they're a dynasty and acknowledge that. They do, man.
But it doesn't matter. But it doesn't matter for this conversation.
We'll revisit this, I'm sure. Later on tonight. Rob Collins is going to join us in studio for the fan club. I could use a drink right now. I don't need to wait till 1 o'clock. Can we get?
Yeah,
I've got some
in the cooler. It's fine.
We'll get to that.
You guys are crazy.
I think your wide receiver, Mr. Ja'Marr Chase, is a little crazy.
And what happens if they win?
The Chiefs are still the team to beat. Not Cincinnati all of a sudden, I'll tell you that. I can tell you that, buddy. On Monday, the Chiefs suddenly don't become the team chasing Cincinnati in the AFC all year. I can promise you that. Let's get to the trash of the day other than Ja'Marr Chase's comments. All right. Deep breaths.
I made my point.
I could have kept on talking.
Oh, of course. We could talk about this all day. We'll get back to it later. We'll also get back to Hollywood Brown's injury news here in about 10 minutes. Trash of the day is just another reminder. There's something in the water when it comes to the water that super fans drink in this city. I love Kansas City. You guys know that. We're from here.
Everyone wears their heart t-shirts when they go get on an airplane.
Yeah, I mean, very proud of where
your
I grew up.
Your shirt says, loves Kansas City on it.
It does. We're both very proud of where we grew up in this city. Why not? Why wouldn't you be? But there's something in the water when it comes to super fans. We all know about Chiefsaholic. We know about X Factor. You see the latest? I'm sure you've seen the gentleman, KC Superman.
I've met him before, yeah. He's always around.
Right?
Wait,
he's usually
got arrested
walking
too?
Around Truman Sports Complex. He's on the plaza. Sometimes I've seen him on the plaza, right? He's got the beard. He's got the Superman cape. And giant S on his chest. He just served 2 days in prison.
Now, are you kidding me? That's the third Chiefs super fan in the last 2 years that's been in jail.
Jail, yeah. 2 days in jail. Behind bars on a couple trespassing convictions. Minor stuff. But I'm just saying, anytime I see super fans in the news these days, they got some legal problems.
Is the puppet lady going to be behind bars in the next couple of weeks? Between X Factor, Chiefsaholic, and now the Superman guy, that's three super fans in jail in the last 24 months in this city. It's a plague. It's going throughout the city.
I mean, something's up with a super fan. Like, I'm sure there's some of you, like I know of one or two that we've had come to our events. Very nice people. So all I know, not in any legal trouble. Hopefully that stays that way. But we've got way too many examples here. Way too many examples of legal issues with our super fans in KC. I'm just saying, lay low. It's time to lay a little low. Warning out there.
It must be just the mentality, you know? You got to really buy in. Make it your whole personality. I think that some people should consider retiring. Similar to that is Childish Gambino. Are you familiar with Childish Gambino? Donald Glover's rap alter ego?
Yeah, he was in town 3 weeks ago.
Okay,
or a month
so
ago.
He said that that is a character he plays, not who he actually is as a person. He's retiring it. He's stepping away from Childish Gambino. No more, man. He's not going to be that person anymore from on the stage perspective. He's walking away. It's not too late is what I'm saying. If you don't want to be X Factor anymore, if you don't want to be, and you can't really be, Chiefsaholic anymore, you can hang up the cape. You can put away the wolf mask. You can put the costume away. You've played that character long enough. It's served its purpose.
Mm-hmm.
Just become Steve or whatever your name is and walk life like a normal person, you know?
It says that I'm a meth addict, which I'm a cocaine addict.
You know, there's time. There's time to just, you've lived a lot of your life under those circumstances, and you can certainly change it, you know? You can change your stripes is all I'm saying.
Someone says, look, the superfan bar has been set. You know? The bar has been set for superfans, unfortunately. That's where we're at. I'm just saying, I wish this gentleman the best. I'm sure he'll be out there this weekend.
Yeah, 2 days. Do you think...
2 days in jail. Could you...
Do you think you'd be a changed man after 2 days in jail?
I don't think so.
I actually think it'd be tremendous for this show if you spent 2 days in jail for trespassing.
Would one of us get fired...
No, for 2 days? They're not fired for 2 days.
If it was the same charges, like, no. Hey, a year or so ago, you ended up trespassing. You got, like, 4 trespassing charges, and they said you got to serve 2 days in jail. Do you think you would be fired?
No. I do not think I'd be
not.
Fired.
I would hope not. And if
I also think it'd make for great radio content. Imagine, you talk about the food.
Imagine if I came on the show and said, hey, I got some big news, guys.
Getting ready for life on the inside.
Like, well, start tomorrow, the next 2 days, I'm not going to be on the show. And all of a sudden, I'm like, I'm going to be in jail for 2 days. I'll be back on Monday. The conversations before, the conversations after would be incredible.
The fan club would be someone who's a former convict giving you advice for life on the inside. I'd send you some money for your commissary. You know, the conversation is kind of endless, mm-hmm. in my opinion. I don't think they'd fire us for 2 days in jail. Maybe I'm wrong. Especially if you got to serve it on or use vacation time. Especially if you got to serve it on like a Saturday, Sunday, just weekend.
The kind of sick time.
Yeah. There's people who serve weekend jail. You're familiar with that, right? Like where you get 20 days, but you get to just serve it on 10 straight weekends. They'll let people serve sentences like that. It's called weekend jail.
Oh, if I'm going to jail,
weekend
I'm going
to get you in.
I'm going to at least just serve it during the week. Get it over with. Be done with it.
You'd rather do like a Monday, Tuesday.
Why drag it out for 10 weeks? Just get it over with. At that point. Sometimes, could you do the show from your jail cell? I'm going to guess no. I guess they don't let you have communication.
No, I think that that's exactly what they're trying to avoid, as a matter of fact. Even if you're a weekend jail, I don't think they're going to let you do a radio show now.
The 2 days, I feel like, would feel like I was there for 2 weeks.
I looked it up, by the way, Drew. We go to break.
Okay, we got to go to break.
For all this talk that these two are rivals. Oh, no. Cincinnati has not beaten the Kansas City Chiefs in 649 days.
Oh, that's fine. I don't care. It's okay. I don't have a problem with Ja'Marr Chase saying it. I don't have a problem with anybody saying it. If you're Bobby and you say it, fine.
At least you're on this. I like
if Aaron
the
Judge
there.
Were to say we're the team to beat when the Yankees haven't won a damn thing, fine. Be confident in your team. Be confident in yourself. That's why you should be.
I mean, I don't want to bring it back up, but
no, we got to move on.
We got to move on, but
we got to talk more about Hollywood.
We do, but real quick, I can't help myself. The Yankees might end up with the best record in the American League, so it's a
but they
bit
haven't
different.
Won any.
Anyway,
hold on,
up next,
hold on.
No,
they haven't won anything.
I said we are
hold
getting
on.
Back to this.
We're, no, oh we got to let it go. We got to go
no,
to break.
We are late for break, Drew.
Yes.
You're the one that's
we'll
supposed
get
to
back to it.
You're supposed to keep us on track. We're already a minute and a half late.
We'll come back.
Up next,
Cody's
Chiefs Red Half Hour.
Don't blame me.
The latest on Hollywood Brown's injury here on 96.5 The Fan.
Welcome in to the Chiefs Red Half Hour. Every day at 11:30 with Cody and Gold on your new home for Chiefs football. 96.5 The Fan.
That's right. It is the Chiefs Red Half Hour on a Red Friday, getting set for Chiefs Bengals on Sunday afternoon. Of course, you hear the game on your home for the Chiefs right here. 96.5 The Fan, Mitch Holthus, Danon Hughes, Josh Klingler, Dan Israel, all on the call Sunday afternoon. coming up in about 25 minutes. We'll get to what's trending. We'll get you caught up on everything happening outside of Kansas City as well. But the big news in Kansas City that's become national news today, of course, is the news that Hollywood Brown is going to the injured reserve list. He's eligible in 4 weeks, but Nate Taylor, our Chiefs insider, reporting that they are expecting him to miss months with rehab that's required for surgery. It's that same injury, but unfortunately, it was not healing naturally the way they had hoped, the way it needed to. And for his own long-term health, surgery is required. And so Hollywood Brown, I mean, I think it's very fair to say, could miss the entire season. And if he does return, it's going to be very late in the season. And one, it stinks for him, right, on just on a personal level. I'm going to Kansas City trying to win a ring, but also you go and have a massive year with Patrick Mahomes and you're getting a huge payday. And that is all changed for him. So it sucks for him individually. For this team, I think what it could change is, are they going to have the peak of being a top three offense? Can they still get to that without Brown? And I think that's a big challenge now. Does it mean they can't win a Super Bowl? Does it mean they can't win the division? No. Does it mean they can't
win
14
games? We've learned that lesson.
Of course not, especially after watching last season. But it just changes the peak, yes, and the depth of the wide receiver room. You're more reliant than ever on Rashee Rice, on Travis Kelce. It just changes the flexibility that you had. Imagining the games where we were talking about seeing Worthy with Brown, with Kelce, with Rashee Rice all on the field on one play. Good luck, defenses. We may not see that this year.
So, like, people are saying, have we forgotten that we have Juju? Yeah, but I mean, he didn't play. I mean, he didn't.
What, did he play 10% of the snaps?
Yeah, like I mean, he didn't get on the field. Sky Moore.
He dropped a touchdown, too.
Barely got on the field. And I'd say that's just maybe a contested. But yeah, I mean, you know, he had a chance at least.
Either way.
Those are guys who fill in the rest of it. The reason why I think the wide receiver crew is okay right now is most teams, I think, in modern-day NFL would like three options at wide receiver you could generally trust. They have two for sure. Travis Kelce and, obviously, Rashee Rice at this point. And so, and because he's not going to get suspended, which is a huge breath of fresh air now, they're in good shape there. The third option, there's the random veteran they trust to come in every once in a while, Justin Watson, Mecole Hardman, et cetera.
I think Watson will be playing steadily, yeah.
The guy who I think has a chance to really emerge as another guy they trust in, Xavier Worthy. The fact that they spent their first-round pick on this is going to help cover them significantly. The Juju, Mecole, those are back-end fill guys you're going to trust for the one start that maybe you don't get from Kelce or Rashee or Xavier, because other wide receiver injuries are likely to happen. But I'm not going to sit here and pretend like this means nothing. Like, but they're fine. We got one game of evidence. Have we not learned anything in the NFL? One game of evidence, and you're like, high-flying offense. Xavier Worthy's going to have 35 touchdowns. And you're like, okay, that's not how it's going to work. They were counting on it. They didn't just give Hollywood Brown $10 million, pretty much declare him wide receiver number two, and then they were like, missing him? That's nothing. No, it is, of course, something. According to all the reports, this injury is likely to keep Hollywood Brown out for months and months. As in, most of the timeline people are throwing out there is 12 weeks, maybe more. There's a realistic chance that Hollywood Brown never plays a snap for the Chiefs. It's not out of the question. And so I think there's just a chance he might play 12 weeks from now and you see him late in the season.
And boy, what an addition that could be. If you want to be on the positive end, you know, if the offense is still played at a top five-ish, top 10 level without him, and Worthy is continuing to make explosive plays, and then all of a sudden a team that's already pacing to win 12, 13, 14 gets a mid-season, late season, I guess it would be at that point, acquisition that is Hollywood Brown, for crying out loud, that would end up being a huge boost for them. So that's the positive spin on it, of course.
Either way, I'm going to feel that way. If he comes back late in the season, if they're not playing the level of offense we thought they were going to play, and then all of a sudden Hollywood Brown's come back and be like, cool, this time there's a savior. Do you remember what it felt like in week 15 of the wide receiver crew last year? There was no man on his white horse coming to like help out the offense. They just had to deal with the people they had. In this case, Hollywood could come back and make them either more dynamic if they're already a dynamic offense by that point, or if they're kind of stagnant, could be kind of breath of fresh air into the offense. I'm still relying on him coming back later because no matter what, it makes him a better team going into the postseason.
Yeah, and there's, on the positive spin, again, this is viewing it in a very positive light, but late in the year too. You know, everybody else's body's all worn down. His legs are going to be nice and fresh. He's got a shoulder injury. His leg, it's not a lower body injury. So he would be fresh if he's actually eligible, or he will be eligible if he's actually able to come back for this team. But yeah, it just changes how you view what this offense can fully look like. And because of last year, of course, I think everybody's very confident that this isn't going to drastically change.
It's a way better unit than last year, even without Hollywood Brown.
If they would have lost the opener to Baltimore, they're very close to losing that game. We know that. If they would have lost the opener and Worthy would not have had the touchdowns and the offense wouldn't have moved the ball, and we were like, man, the offense didn't really look great. And we would have been saying, man, wait till they get Hollywood back, you know, and the offense will be fine. I think we'd have a much different reaction today.
Yeah, sure.
But because the offense looked as good as it did in week one against Baltimore, and Worthy, the rookie, who I think long-term was always going to be a Hollywood Brown replacement, most likely, because he looked so effective in the three touches that he had, that's probably also why there's not panic after the loss. It's disappointing. They're not as good of a football team without Hollywood Brown. Those are all true, but to what degree? You know, we joke all the time in the betting markets about how much is a quarterback worth? You know, you joke like Daniel Jones is worth like negative or whatever. You know, we've joked about that.
I stand by that.
Patrick Mahomes is worth 6.5 points or something. It's not like Hollywood Brown is worth 2 points. You know, it doesn't.
Or two wins.
It's not that way.
No. And I don't know that he, like, honestly, if you said, are you going to change your win total now based on, like, if you just let me revise it, I would not.
No.
I would still say they're a 13 win team. Would I say, if I thought they were going to be the second or third best offense in the league, now I think they might be fifth, maybe.
Yeah, I think that's a
possibility
for sure.
Because they are on paper now, less dynamic of an offense for a 17-game schedule than I was originally planning on. Now, at the same time, defense could play a little bit better. Or hell, before the season, I thought Xavier Worthy would be a nice wide receiver. I didn't think he'd be one of the three best wide receivers on the team, and I didn't think he'd be one of the top two rookie wide receivers, and that's at least in play now. I don't know what will come of it, but it's still 1 week. Like, and I think people are like, calm down, don't panic. I'm like, I'm not panicked. The text line thinks we're being negative because I think the team losing what was their number two wide receiver going into the season, hypothetically for a huge chunk of the year, is not nothing. I don't think that.
Yeah, why are you panicking,
but
Cody?
I also
why are you panicking so much?
I just don't want to take a one-game sample size and be like, they're fine. I'll be honest, I'm the same as the text line. If you could promise me that what I saw in week one from the wide receiver unit, Noah Gray, Xavier Worthy, Rashee Rice, Travis Kelce, if you could just tell me that that's the output I'm getting the rest of the way, then yeah, you're right. I'm fine. Life's good. But that's a one-game sample size, and I don't want to live in a world in which I just assume everything the Chiefs are is based on what I saw in one game.
I'm not going to say Bink is panicking, but Bink is he has reached out to me and has said that he brings up a good point where I think if somebody – it would take somebody else getting hurt – conversation to come up, but he mentioned, he goes all the way back to the draft too, is that they had an opportunity to further improve the team beyond just signing Xavier Worthy.
I think they did enough in the offseason.
I agree. They protected themselves from an injury like this. But like, so here's the thing I think this show needs to make very clear. As a group, we've tried to, but somehow the text line doesn't seem to think so based on comments that are Chiefs won a Super Bowl that wide receiver number one. Alex and I have made this very clear, and I'd like to state this on behalf of Cody and Gold. Cody and Gold states now that at no point this year will Alex and I ever say, barring only an injury to the quarterback, Alex and I will never say this year that the Kansas City Chiefs cannot win a Super Bowl. I thought we already said that. I thought we'd made that clear. I do not think this injury stops them from winning a Super Bowl. I'm not crazy.
We all watched last season.
I won't make that mistake ever again.
Yeah, but there's an acknowledgement of what it changes, perhaps, about the offense.
Yes.
That's kind of where we're at. Yeah, to Bink's text to you, I guess, I would just say that we mentioned the depth portion. I think that's the bigger test. If all of a sudden, in let's just call it weeks 8 through 10, for whatever reason, pick a wide receiver, suddenly has a hamstring injury and they're going to miss 3 games. Yeah, that is more problematic now because you already know you're going to be without Hollywood Brown. Of course, you got a little thinner at wide receiver.
It's a hindsight thing more than anything else, if that happens.
But yes. I mean, I don't think we should be like, you know, this is why they should have drafted another wide receiver. I'll call BS on that because, man, look at the wide receiver room. They got plenty in the wide receiver room.
Yeah, they've got bodies.
They have plenty. I mean, they're not keeping 10 receivers. I mean, this goes back to our preseason stuff. Like, who cares who the seventh receiver is ultimately on this football team? That was not going to be the difference of this team making a Super Bowl or not. And Hollywood Brown going down will be felt more if multiple wide receivers get hurt. Or, you know, whatever. That's when you'll feel the injury more. Unless on Sunday, Drew, you get your dream and the Chiefs lose and the offense looks terrible, then maybe on Monday we're saying, oh boy, maybe we're saying that, but I don't think that'll be the case.
Somebody said Hollywood Brown was the fourth option at best. I don't.
Well, Kelsey won, Rasheed Rice two.
And Hollywood was definitively three. Yeah,
like going into the season.
Yeah. Now, this Sunday, no matter what happened with Hollywood Brown long term, we already knew Xavier Worthy was going to be the number three option.
I do say this Sunday, one thing I would, you know, would give me like more, always gives me more confidence is we'd said yesterday, I think that this is a roster mismatch. You'd mentioned it to Ben Baby. We all kind of agreed based on that. Even Drew, I don't think, disagreed that this is one of the bigger roster mismatches these two teams have had going into a game. Can we avoid the playing down or the lack of scoring? Because I honestly think that if the Chiefs score 27, it's done. I don't think Cincinnati is in a place right now offensively with Joe Burrow's health or a million other reasons that they're going to outscore the Chiefs if the Chiefs get to 27. I want them to avoid the like sleepy play down to a team not playing well and I got to watch some 21-17 game. Look, if they win, I'm not going to come in here and bury them on Monday based on that. I'm just saying it'd be nice to avoid that for once.
I mean, it would not stun me just based on prior history with the teams that if all of a sudden this was a 21-17 game or something.
Total points like, is 47 and
that,
a half, by
that
the way.
Would mean, that would not be a complete stunner. You say 27 points? Like that
27
sounds,
feels like enough.
That sounds about right. I would be surprised if you told me the Chiefs needed to had to win 31-28. That's a three-point margin that we've seen in the past.
You. I don't think that's the kind of game Cincinnati's going to try to get into. Like, if we talk about styles make fights, what style of game do you think Cincinnati wants to play? And I think that that's ugly. I think right now they'd rather win one against the Chiefs ugly. 21-18, 24-21 Bengals. I think that they want to get stuck in some rock fight of a game. I don't think they want to get stuck in the high-flying, look at us go back and forth game. Because at the end, Joe Burrow would still have to air it out more than we think he's capable of right now based on the injury.
I think they're going to run.
And the Chiefs have some high flyers that could score, you know, that
quickly. I think Cincy's going to look to run the football quite a bit in this game on Sunday. They're only going to have Ja'Marr Chase in terms of no T. Higgins in this game. Yes, I understand they have other wide receivers, but let's be real. The other wide receivers don't really scare you if you're Kansas City. So I think Cincinnati's going to try to run the ball to see if that doesn't set some things up for some other guys at some point in the game. But Chase Brown, to me, is actually somebody that's more of a potential weapon in this game than we realize.
I think you guys asked the question to Ben Baby is like, what would you say is the weakness of the defense more like? And it was hard to pick. Is there, because I know last year the run defense was kind of a question mark. Is that, would you still venture to say that is the case? Or obviously just one game sample size, we don't know, because for the Bengals, the way that they play stylistically, they don't run the ball all that often. I don't know if you looked it up or not, Cody, in terms of run percentage. The Bengals didn't run the ball very much at all.
They were dead last in week one.
So I don't.
Chiefs were fourth to last. This wasn't exactly two teams that loved running the ball in week one.
No. So I wonder if that conversation still the same, do you think? Is that the weakness of there is one as you pick it out is maybe the run defense, where if the Bengals did run the ball, they might have more effectiveness on the offensive side of the ball than just trying to air it out.
Completely underrated part of all of this that has clearly now come more into focus, which is what you're talking about. Joe Burrow's not healthy, can't air the ball out. Everybody knows it, and they've got running backs. I have real questions about Zach Taylor's coaching ability. That's just not smart coaching. That's bad decision-making. And honestly, you and I were both very skeptical of Zach Taylor. And then he got to that Super Bowl, and I'm like, I don't know, maybe I was wrong on Zach. And now the more and more evidence I get, the more I'm like, I don't think he's a very good coach.
I think
he's always starting the seasons poorly, making bad decisions in the running game or protecting Joe Burrow. I don't really like the way that their game plans work most of the time. I just don't think Zach Taylor's all that good. Do I think he's the worst coach in the league? Is he Nathaniel Hackett? No. He doesn't bury his damn squad, but I think he's below average.
Well, they have a new offensive coordinator. Callahan is no longer there. Callahan is the head coach of the Tennessee Titans.
Oh, yeah.
And Ben Baby did make the point. Zach Taylor's still calling plays, too.
Yeah.
It's not even pitcher.
Yeah, so that's one thing we haven't seen. We're all reacting to week one with their performance. I'll be interested to see as the season progresses for Cincy, is the conversation like, oh man, they actually do miss their offensive coordinator. Is that part of the problem for them? Who
Maybe.
Knows?
Could
we would hear locally, I'm sure, if that was the case. I feel like nobody's discussed that enough, that they don't have the same offensive coordinator. Their head coach is calling the plays. Maybe that's also going to be a problem as the season progresses.
I mean, it very well could be.
I do think the being able to have just one wide receiver to worry about, I'm Ben brought it up, and I know we talked about it too. I'm very intrigued to see what Spags has planned for Trent McDuffie. Do you just follow him, or are you in his pocket and you force Andre Yoshivas and Trent Irwin and whoever not to beat you? Maybe that's the strategy, or do you just play everything as you normally would? It'll be really interesting to see how Trent McDuffie is used in this one.
Trent Irwin, is he like another son or whatever of hanging out with crocodiles or whatever?
Trent Irwin was the third best. He was the fourth. He was behind Tyler Boyd last year. He caught a few touchdowns. He's solid. He's a lot like Tyler Boyd. Not a Yak guy.
No, the late Steve Irwin had multiple sons. I thought it was just the one.
I'll be honest, cannot be good for Cincinnati. They got a bunch of wide receivers in a mic.
The one guy to watch potentially. The one guy to watch could be Jermaine Burton.
Who?
Had a first round grade as a wide receiver. Had some issues character wise at Alabama and Georgia, but.
Wait, just real quick.
Talent-wise,
the first round grade stuff drives me nuts.
Depending on the
difference, where did he go?
You mean
where did he go in the draft?
Third round.
Okay, close enough. I'll let it go a little bit.
What were you trying to see?
Every time this is like this goes way back. This goes back to
it was a character issue.
Back to like Aaron Murray. Like he was going to be a first round quarterback. Then he tore his knee. He was in the fourth.
That wasn't it.
That's not. By the way, character guys, they don't fall from the first to the third round anymore. Like, that wasn't the only problem they had with Jermaine Burton's game. He'd have been a second-round pick or a late first if he was a first-round pick, first-round grade guy, and then just had some... How bad a character stuff?
He was falling asleep in Alabama meetings, in position meetings.
Yeah.
I think that's a bad character.
I'll just tell you right now. If Jamar Chase was falling asleep in some meetings, and it turned out during college, you know where he was still gone? Top five! He'd have been right where he was.
Based on recent comments, it wouldn't surprise me if there was no class involved. The way they stopped with some of the stuff he said recently.
He didn't even go to school.
I'm sorry, Drew. I mean, that's
listen. The team to be named. How many athletes go to college for the school?
You took it too literal. I was obviously making
a joke. I know.
But yes.
Yes, he was going to class. He wasn't falling asleep in class. He was falling asleep in wide receiver meetings at Alabama. That's a problem.
I think it could be.
But he's a name to watch potentially.
All right.
Just in terms of them maybe just throwing somebody out there who they think is high potential.
Look, I've got to be careful. There was one time I, like, bagged when I found out that the Cardinals' number one wide receiver going against was Greg Dortch. He had a pretty good game against the Chiefs in a game in which they won, but I don't know any of these.
Look, I'll roll the dice. If Trent Irwin's out there burning the Chiefs, we got bigger problems to talk about on Monday.
I think that's Trent Irwin's getting the better.
That's a fair point.
We got bigger problems to talk about in that secondary if Trent Irwin's out there with a buck 50 and two touchdowns.
I don't think Jermaine Burton's coming to get him either.
And Nick Bolton having to guard Mike Gesicki or whatever.
I do think Gesicki could have a nice game.
My God, he was senior and he only got 800 yards at Alabama. Yeah, I'm not worried about Jermaine Burton either.
He did have Jalen Milroe throwing him the ball, which isn't. I mean, Jalen Milroe ran the ball a lot, but I think that is another matchup to the two matchups that I'm watching at least are Trey Hendrickson and Kingsley and Nick Bolton and who he's guarding and is Nick Bolton out there in 3rd and 10? Who is he going to have to guard? And are the Bengals targeting him as much as the Ravens eventually figured it out in that matchup?
I would assume smart teams will go out of their way to target Nick Bolton on third down with either running backs or tight ends until they prove to change their plan. Absolutely.
That we'll see. As we said, though, after the Ravens game with Isaiah Likely, there's not many tight ends in the league or as athletic as Isaiah Likely. You know, they're going to see Kyle Pitts next week. He's very athletic.
I think
Isaiah Likely fits that. There's four tight ends that they might face period all year that are anywhere near that athleticism. So like Gesicki's had a very nice enough career. Wouldn't surprise me if he gets a touchdown in the game on Sunday. But he's not capable of doing what Isaiah Likely did in terms of just the athleticism.
Agreed.
That'll be the nice thing, I guess, an adjustment. They won't have to worry about it quite as much. He still might, as I said, have a couple catches, but I don't think you're worried about Gesicki getting wide open and making some moves to where he's taking 40 yards down the field for a touchdown, making someone miss at the 2-yard line.
Real shame we didn't get the Irv Smith revenge game, you know? He didn't make
Is he on a practice squad somewhere?
Any idea?
Irv Smith.
I am slightly...
Patriots worked him out 6 days ago. That's it.
Not necessarily like worried about Samaje P. Ryan. I just don't want... I'd rather not Samaje be the reason why the Bengals lose, which is very possible because Samaje is that...
He should have had a touchdown the last game.
Yeah, he's that good of a guy.
We missed it. That was the inside. The Patriots had former Cincinnati Bengal Irv Smith in their facility days before beating Cincinnati.
He gave him the scout.
That's what it was.
He gave him the scout. That's how they knew.
So now if the Chiefs win and Samaje P. Ryan, I mean, look, just bring in a former Bengals player and you'll be good.
By the way, the bad teams always do that. Bad teams love bringing in some dude who was just on the practice squad and, I don't know,
did you see that Cincinnati, or excuse me, Cleveland, who, of course, signed Kadarius Toney. You see he missed practice today.
Yeah, with an undisclosed injury, right?
Some things never change, man.
Oh, so the grass is green today and the sky is blue? And Kadarius Toney missed a practice today with an undisclosed injury? Mm. Okay, yeah, that sounds right. I mean, that's just like the least, what you're giving me is the least surprising news of all
time.
He's
dealing with, quote, a minor injury.
I mean, he's a bigger bust at this point than Sky Moore was.
Of course. Look where they were drafted to.
Sky Moore was a late second round or middle of the second
round pick.
He was first round, yep. 21st.
All right, up next, we'll get to what's trending. Then we do get right back into what happened in the NFL last night with Tua, plus the injury news with Hollywood Brown right here on Cody and Gold.